The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Sorry we're running a little late today. Had some technical difficulties after I made the mistake of upgrading my main system here last night. I thought everything had come back to life, but I had one last step that I must have missed. We're glad you can join in with us today, and as usual, I'm going to mention that just because we discuss certain tax rules and strategies and maybe information about real estate, private partnership syndications, that this is not an invitation to go run and jump into the deep end. Please get your current advisors on board to look at whatever strategy you think you thought you heard and understood, and make sure it fits your unique facts and circumstances. And further, in that same context, I want to make sure you understand that we do not sell investments, nor do we recommend or promote specific investments, syndicators, sponsors, or lead partners. Rather, we assist you in understanding what you're signing up for regarding any opportunities that you may be considering, and having engaged us to review said opportunity and the legal and tax documents associated therewith, the syndication documents, I should say. And there are a myriad of those documents that you really need to understand the nature of the transaction, what type of tax and legal strategies the partnership is seeking to apply to the type of real estate, the genre of real estate, meaning multifamily, commercial, single family. There's obviously many different types of real estate that you might choose to invest in. And if you don't know a thing or two about each of those types of real estate, that's the first point that I would suggest, or the first area you engage with someone in that knows the property involved, understands the due diligence that maybe has already been performed to date, and where you can start to get some idea of, you know, which one. You may be comparing four or five or six opportunities, and if you don't have an inkling about the type of real estate, you're jumping ahead of the game to start worrying about tax consequences and the legalities of that syndication. For those of you that don't have advisors, you're perfectly welcome to go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And top right there, you'll see a forms link. Please proceed to fill out at least the first link on that page, the client profile. And then if you also are contemplating investing any of your retirement funds, which we'll talk more today about why you might want to do that, all things being equal, you know, meaning you could use non-retirement funds, or you could use your retirement funds, access your retirement funds to use them. You know, you have assorted options, and in some cases using retirement money is absolutely the smart thing to do when you look at the throughput that you'll have with respect to syndicated investments. And in fact, I'll go so far as to say that if you're using your retirement funds to invest through the what I think of as the perfect vehicle to hold syndicated investments, and it's the best whether you're talking about retirement money or non-retirement money, I would pick that one structure. And we'll talk more about that as we get further into the show. In any event, we can help you understand those choices and how you might be able to invest in one of these syndications or multiple syndications. By the way, I'm sure there's somebody that's listening to this and thinking, well, wait a minute, aren't these the types of investments that have been having problems surviving in the last couple of years? And I suppose, like many investments, it's certainly not limited to real estate. Yeah, it seems that in every market we have people, whether it's real estate or whether it's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, etc., there's people losing money and there's others making money at the same time. So to answer your question, I would tell you yes, most assuredly, we've had some issues primarily relating to the debt structures that weren't generally being used. I guess the banks were using them generally, but the syndicators were getting the short end of the stick when you compare or when you combined it with what was going on in the overall economy, the inflation, the interest rates, etc. And while we like and prefer hard assets, there's a little thing called the interest rate that weighs heavily on the value of those hard assets and the ability for them to keep up with inflation. And, you know, we had many deals or many projects in the syndication world that projected some rate increases, interest rate increases, but I don't think many people had any idea that there would be 11 such increases before things kind of settled out, and we're still significantly above the rate of interest we might have paid on a transaction 3 and 4 years ago. And you know, the difficulty in those situations becomes, well, where do you get the extra money to make debt payments and fund operations, et cetera? Because, you know, most investors, or at least most passive investors that I work with, for whatever reason, they just assume that, you know, they put their money in at the beginning, put it into this black box, you know, let's call it a pro forma, and that everything just happens. You know, it just happens in accordance with what that projection showed. And they don't understand that, you know, a syndication is a business. And for you to think that, oh, we're not getting our distributions anymore, we've still got the loan to pay, we've got all these other expenses, and those might be getting paid or they may be partially getting paid, but we're not getting distributions. Well, you know, that's life. And the syndication companies are no different than the manufacturers and the retailers and the other industries in the overall economy. There's an ebb and flow, and you have to adjust. You may have to invest more money in that business as costs increase, as rates go up. And I think a lot of deals, a lot of projects that went under or that were foreclosed on, they could have been salvaged if the investors involved had voted that, hey, this project has value and we're looking at the longer haul. And I'll promise you, you go back and look at the history of real estate and other industries, and you're going to realize what I said a minute ago, there's an ebb and flow. Some years are up, some years are down. And what I will tell you, if you will compare, for instance, to the stock market, I think you'll see the ups and downs, the frequency of the ups and downs in the real estate markets are much less frequent than in, I don't know, pick your industry that's represented in the stock market. You know, the stock market could, you know, individual companies can drop, you know, it's not uncommon, a 5% or even 10% or more, depending on what the news was that affected that particular stock. And I don't know, I mean, I've owned real estate for a lot of years. I can't ever think of having a piece of real estate that dropped in that type of extreme fashion. And I guess, you know, you could experience a hurricane, maybe something like that, where you didn't have adequate insurance coverage. But try getting insurance to ensure that your stock won't drop. You know, it's not, it doesn't work the same. And real estate has a lot of advantages, and the lack of significant extreme ups and downs on a frequent basis is still another. But in any event, moving on, you know, we've been working with people in this particular niche of the CPA business and real estate investing business for quite a few years now, since the early 2000s. And so we've seen several cycles firsthand. And, you know, I could even go back before the early 2000s, because I lived in Houston at the time. And, you know, I don't know, for any of you old people like me, you know, back in the mid-80s, you no doubt remember how dire things had gotten in the real estate business. And it's incredible. If you drive around the city of Houston now to see what would have been potentially skeletons from that era that are thriving. And, you know, at times I drive by an apartment building and I recall that building. You know, it's what, 60 years old now, or at least, 60 years old. And I think, just generally, wonder how much money, how much revenue, and how much net operating income that building has provided its owner, whoever the owner was along the way, or owners, I should say. And it's just, you know, it's rare that, I know they do tear old buildings down and build new structures in its place, but I'm sure there's a lot more companies that have gone out of business in multiple industries across the landscape of the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, and they're just gone. They're now, they may have merged with another company and had their cash flows absorbed, but I think the real estate game has a longevity that will outshine most of the stock market. And it's interesting, you know, for those of us that have been around long enough to realize the history of both, you know, both markets and marketplaces. Okay, so moving on, let's assume you've been sitting on the sidelines. You haven't invested in any real estate private partnership syndications of any kind, whether it's multifamily or a strip center or whatever. And you've had friends that might have done it. You've heard radio shows like this one talk about doing it. And you're wondering, how do I invest my retirement money into real estate? Because you're saying, meaning Nathan Ross is saying, that's an effective way to create wealth. Retirement wealth is the category I would typically be dealing with if I had someone approach us. And by the way, to circle back, if you do go to the BeAPlanner.com forms page, you'll notice the second form is a retirement profile where we ask you, okay, how much money do you have in certain types of accounts that might be utilized for investing in these real estate partnerships? And I know that's probably a foreign concept to most people. They don't understand that that's even possible. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to tell you it's possible, and it's even preferable to any other way to invest. If you've got enough money in your retirement account, which may mean that you don't need to be investing in these above average rate of return investments, maybe you want more money in your retirement account. I'm curious, and we can each ask ourselves this, how much do we think we have already? And I'm going to pick a number that I got in on an email late this week, where the prospect was telling me, I've got $2 million in my retirement account. And I said, well, I wonder what kind of retirement account that is. So I pulled up the retirement profile that they had submitted, and I realized, this is in a pre-tax type of account, be it a 401k at a big company or a IRA, maybe self-directed IRA even. And it was not a Roth type of account, which means you've got a partner. Who's the partner? The partner is the government. The Internal Revenue Service is your silent partner. You may have forgotten about that. And what's the tax rate going to be when you get down the road to the point, maybe you're there now, where you need to start taking money out of that retirement account to pay your bills? So that's the question we want to ask today, is what is the rate we're going to pay each of us as we get to the retirement years and we have the required minimum distributions hit us? Whether you need the money or not, you're going to be taking RMDs in most cases. And I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, let's try to answer that question. How much will the tax rates be when we retire? We'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And before we took the break, we were talking about the tax break, tax rates, tax brackets that we're going to pay when we get into retirement. And I ask you, what will that rate be if you think you know? And by the way, if you think you know, I believe you're probably the only person, because none of us know. When you look at the current state of our fiscal domain, if you want to say, in the U.S., it's a sad state of affairs. And we don't know, literally, you know, probably 5 years in advance. Do you think when we run out of the remaining portion of the discretionary, the budget, the discretionary piece that we can actually argue about every year if you're a member of Congress, which is near term, it's sometime, depends on your assumptions on spending and interest rates and the other things that the government budget accommodates, by the way, do you think when they suggested we had 4 years remaining not too long ago, do you think the Iran war was part of that equation? And that's the Iran war, is as bad as the dollars are, that's a blip. That's not even a rounding error on the total U.S. deficit. But bottom line is the rates will go up. The question is which year, 29, 30, 31, 32. I see estimates that say it's as quickly as 2029, and it might happen as late as 2034. The Social Security Trust Fund will be eclipsed in 2034, I believe it is. think Medicare is slightly better off. Do you have any idea what happens to your Social Security check if that day comes without a significant change in the systemic policies of this country in terms of what we're going to pay and use tax dollars for? And if it's not in large measure for Social Security, your Social Security check, every participant, every beneficiary, let's say, of Social Security will have somewhere between a 23 and 24% reduction across the board. It's already baked into the law. It's going to take new action to change it. Think about that. Are you prepared to take a 25% cut in your Social Security benefits? And I know there's a lot of you listening that maybe you're invested in syndications and you're saying, well, gee, you know, I'm not worried. I've got these cash flow generating investments that are going to provide for me. How much cash flow did you get last year from those investments? Maybe the year before. The issue is timing. It's not necessarily do you have enough retirement wealth. The question is, do you have it when you need it? And if you're taking a 23 or 24% cut to that consistent monthly annuity we call Social Security, that could change your life a little. You may recover fully. I mean, if you've got some of these partnerships that have also been decimated, bad timing, right? If it happens again and you're dealing with a 25% cut in the Social Security beneficiary payments. And so I guess all I'm trying to suggest is there's a confluence of factors that surround this issue of future tax rates. And I don't know, I don't have a rate in mind. I've heard others prognosticate on what it might be, but it's significant. I mean, it's not going to be, in most cases, you know, a 1 or 2% increase in tax. It's going to be far more. And, you know, and you've got a couple issues here when you talk about the required minimum distributions, which I believe I mentioned right before we took the break. And, well, there's several issues that kind of come together. It's like a five-way stop like we have in San Antonio. And I don't know, maybe I can't remember if we have those in Houston, but they're an interesting way to design streets. Of course, you know, we've got here in Thailand, in Bangkok, where I'm residing at the moment, we have roads that actually crisscross where three directions may be coming together and two are going out the other side. I know it's probably hard to visualize on the air. Let's just say there's no stop signs or red lights at those intersections. It's crazy. And yet, in the 20 years that I've come back and forth here, I've never seen an accident at one of those, I would call it an intersection, except it's not really an intersection. It's like a series of on-ramps that go together. But in any event, when we talk about RMDs, first of all, we have the legal requirement, the amount of required minimum distribution, which you may be surprised to learn that in the world of real estate private partnership syndications, if you have your IRA or your 401k self-directed version, i.e. a solo K, it's the marketing term that most IRA custodians use, you may be surprised at the different rules that apply to each of those. You may not have an RMD. The fairly recent Secure Act 2.0 did the Roth account holders a nice thing. They removed the requirement to even make a required minimum distribution. That's nice if you don't need the money, right? If you've got enough money otherwise, why would you want to take money, potentially take it out of your Roth IRA or Roth 401 instead of leaving it in whatever investment it's in to continue earning cash flow and increase the value of what you ultimately expect to receive when you leave or I'm sorry, when you exit the property, the transaction. If you look at the current solo 401k or IRA and IRA rules, what's the impact? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm struggling while I'm trying to read at the same time. The REQUIRE Act 2.0 made some pretty important changes, at least for those of us that have Roths. And I'll just say that without the without the Roth type of account, you do have required minimum distributions, both for the IRA as well as for the solo K. And so we're going to get into the second issue here in a minute, is how do we determine how much a real estate private partnership syndication is not like you buying stock in stock market, where you've got an end of business value each day. And on the 31st of December every year, you can see very clearly what the total value is that's in your accounts. And that's what then you apply against the divisor, which is the life expectancy value on the table that the IRS maintains. And so you divide that value by the divisor, and you know, your divisor may be in the 20 range, maybe less. Depends on when you started your RMDs. Depends on a number of factors. And by the way, just knowing when to start the RMDs has gotten to be a little bit of a confused area. But let's just say we're kind of in a moving, it's a moving target. Right now, well, not really a moving target. The rules are set, but it's based on your age. And generally, you're going to have, I think most people, I'm trying to think, I believe it's after 1960. If you were born 61 on, you've got a, I believe 73. It ranges from 73 to 75. Again, there's some sub, categories. It's age 73 at this moment. It's gradually increasing to 75. And then in any event, there's also some exceptions. If you're still working and you're in a 401k, you've got an exception to the RMD rule. That's nice. And you don't have to start pulling the money. And of course, the money that you're going to get taxed on is going to come from, you hope, from your personal assets. You shouldn't have to, I hope you don't have to take money out of the 401 to pay the tax. That's going to cannibalize your potential upside. But you'll get a 1099-R that'll come to your personal, you know, your Social Security number, personal tax ID, and you'll pay the tax that's due personally, unless you choose to take money out of the 401, in which case you're going to pay tax on that. So you're going to pay some tax on the tax, if you think about it. And that's the fastest way to deplete your funds, certainly. But in any way, let's look at what the rules are. Is an RMD required for pre-tax, whether it's 401 or traditional IRA? The answer is yes on both accounts. Is an RMD required for Roth accounts? From the passage of the SECURE Act, and I guess the effective date was a couple years ago, there is no RMD requirement for the 401, Roth 401. There also is no RMD for the Roth IRA. We also have, for the 401, a still working exception for the pre-tax 401, where you don't need to make a RMD. And at this moment, the first RMD age is 73, gradually increasing to 75. This is for pre-tax and pre-tax 401s and traditional IRAs. And but here's the benefit that we just briefly alluded to: value. What value are we going to calculate? And in the world of the solo K and the self-directed IRA, that's left to you as a participant to engage someone, or unless you've got something that's as scientific, perhaps, as what someone in the business of evaluating private real estate partnerships is, then you're going to have that party evaluate that private company investment. And with private company investments, we get significant discounts to the amount that you might have invested. You could have invested $200,000 in a specific partnership or several partnerships. You're going to value each one of those, and you're going to look at those and determine which specific discounts to apply. You've got a lack of marketability. You've got a lack of majority control. And then you've got assorted issues with the market. What's the market doing? You have inflation normal, above normal? You've got, you know, the real estate market itself. Is it robust, or is there high vacancies in the properties you're in? These are things that affect the value, because the net operating income is less, therefore your valuation will be less. And so you've got the ability somewhat, I don't want to say to control the value, but you've got the ability to avoid paying or calculating RMDs and taking money out and therefore paying tax more from the 401, in some cases the IRA, because you're not paying tax based on what you paid for it, or based on some elusive value that would apply to that partnership. And the Roth, again, is subject to that same logic. When you, if you convert your pre-tax 401 after you've invested, or IRA, after you've invested into real estate private partnership syndications, you're going to claim the, or you're going to show discounts in that calculation to where you won't pay as much tax as if you converted, let's say, a stock you're holding at Charles Schwab. In most cases, now again, the stock could have dropped as well. It's just stocks, when you've got marketability or tradability, you're losing one of the big discounts. And there's several others that you're going to lose on that list. There's 20 or 25 risk factors. Take a look at any of your private placement memorandums, your PPMs that you've been given before you invested in the private partnership. And so by getting into the Roth side of retirement funds, you're going to find there's more than simply the tax that goes away for the rest of your life. You've got these other issues, IRMA, which I think most people are aware of now. It's the inflation adjustment, and the adjustment for people that have a significant income. And Irma is not affected by Roth distributions or distributions to Roth accounts, whereas distributions, that's RMDs or otherwise, that come from pre-tax are going to impact that Irma calculation. So, again, the RMDs that we assist our clients with calculating, we're typically calculating lower amounts than you would if you had the similar amount of money sitting in a stock market account. We're at the end of the show. I didn't quite finish what I wanted, but perhaps I'll circle back next week. Thank you for listening, and I presume you understand you can hear us on both KSEV AM 700 or KGBC AM 1540 in Houston. And then we're also on in Dallas and San Bernardino, Riverside, LA. You can see those station numbers on our website. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.